Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What is it with cyclists and coffee? Faima and Café Colombia are just two of the brands who've had an iconic involvement in the sport, but recent years have seen an explosion of cycling-themed cafes anywhere there are cyclists. And no pro rider's kitchen is complete without an incredibly expensive and complex espresso machine. And of course, pro cyclists with their own brands. Five Rings is the latest, from Olympians Callum Skinner, Philip Hines and Owen Dool. Owen joins us to talk coffee and his disrupted racing season. This is the Ruler podcast, supported by Lacquer, bicycle insurance powered by the community. So, Owen Dool of Team Ineos, Team GB, and Five Rings Coffee, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm really good, thanks. Obviously, a bit of a strange time for everyone, but just kind of trying to crack on as normal, training away, hopefully get back to racing soon, and just making the most of this different time, I guess.
Oh, you say training away, you've just come back from a five-hour training ride, is that right?
Yeah, so that's the thing, I think. If anything, I'm probably training more now than I would be at this time of year anyway, because the big difference is obviously once you enter the racing season, you're always kind of spinning plates between training, recovering from racing, tapering into races. So you don't actually have that much time to train once the year starts. So in terms of training load, I'm probably doing a lot more now than I would do. April, for example, I ended up with like a higher training stress score and more hours than I would do normally in a racing year. So it's a bit strange.
It's going to be weird when everyone does start racing again as well, isn't it? Because everyone's going to have been doing different things.
It's going to be super interesting. You know, I know some guys who've literally been doing 1 hour a day on the turbo and that's it. I know some guys who've been doing 30-hour weeks on the turbo. I think it's just whatever you're comfortable with, and don't think there's a right or wrong answer. Hopefully I'm doing the right one, but yeah, when we get back to racing, it'll be interesting.
Well, last time we spoke on the podcast, I think you were just back from the Vuelta and about to do the London 6 Day. And what was the plan for this year? Because the Vuelta was kind of your first introduction to a big Grand Tour, wasn't it?
Yeah, so originally my kind of the whole year was based around having a big first part of the year. So obviously I started out at Down Under. It would be then into the Classics with a big focus on that, and then aiming to do the Giro, and then having not like a more relaxed second half of the year, but more of not having to chase that kind of Grand Tour selection for the second half of the year and target some smaller stuff, maybe, you know, like the Tour of Britain or the Canadian races. But obviously that's all out the window, and it's looking like I'm going to have very busy back end of the year instead. So
it looks like a busy autumn for everyone, doesn't it?
Yeah, big time. And it's a difficult calendar, especially for me, with wanting to do originally the Giro and the Classics, and now they're both on at the same time. So I'm not sure which one I'm going to end up doing.
Now, Five Rings Coffee, which is your new project with Philip Hines and Callum Skinner, where did that come from?
Obviously, the three of us have been mates since 2012 when we first got into the Great Britain Academy. Obviously, Phil and Callum are both track sprinters. We all went to Rio together. But we've always had a massive passion for coffee. I think it all kind of started with Phil. And once you start doing the podium stuff and that kind of lifestyle of being a professional athlete, you kind of get introduced to coffee and the appreciation for it. And so it was something we've always been really, really keen on. And then it was pretty much towards the end of the last year, we kind of thought we wouldn't mind doing a bit of a side venture as a collective, really. So we decided to form Five Rings Coffee. We set it up actually in the end of 2019. And we launched, the 18th of May. And it's gone so really well so far. And it's something we're super passionate about. And I think so far the response to it has been amazing. And I think, you know, if you think, oh, we set it up the end of 2019, it's taken almost 6 months to get it off the ground. But I think that's partly because of our personalities and kind of the backgrounds we have, especially with track cycling, where I wouldn't want to use the word like marginal gains, but I think with track cycling, when the events are so tight and the margins are so small, every detail you do on the track is analyzed. And I think we've kind of applied that same philosophy to the company now, you know, even from what cards we use to send up with the coffee, which bags we use, what fonts we use, you know, everything takes us a while to actually go through and decide on what we're doing. But to finally be here now and have the product out there, we're super proud of it.
And how do you go about actually sort of setting up a coffee company or choosing the coffee? Because presumably you're not growing it yourself. It's a question of choosing the blends or whatever, is it?
Yeah. So obviously bean selection is a big thing. And that's kind of one of the strengths, I'd say, of Five Rings at the minute, is everyone brings something different to the table. So obviously Callum retired after Rio 2016. And he's been doing quite a lot in different industries, and especially around marketing and business projects and stuff like that. So you've had in the kind of 4 years since he stopped racing, or not even 4 years, he stopped after the Commonwealth Games, I think, so 3 years. He's actually had quite a big of an insight into that kind of world and learned quite a lot. And then to be fair, Phil's probably the most anorak of us out at the coffee lot. So he's actually done like roasting courses and barista courses before in his spare time. And then I'm not really sure what I bring to the table, to be honest, maybe some ideas and contacts, but which it just kind of made sense to us to set up.
And how do you decide on, because how many coffees have you actually got? It's not just the one, is it?
Yeah, so we have two single origin coffees at the minute. So obviously a single origin is just one bean, whereas obviously a blend would be a mixture of beans. And again, you know, we probably could have launched with a few more coffees to start with, but again, kind of going back to that, the analytical side of stuff, we wanted to make sure that we did two really, really world-class coffees instead of, you know, releasing five or six. But obviously with the aim of, as time goes on, to introduce more coffees into the range. And one thing we're big on, and one of the ideals of kind of setting it up, was that coffee really actually connects people. You know, whether, say, if you don't know someone, or you're best mates with them, or you're going on a first date, you know, coffee's always something which is suggested, you know, let's go for a coffee. Whether that's in a social setting, a business setting, whatever. And over coffee, you share experiences, ideas, stories. And as a group, we've had some amazing experiences and big moments in our lives together. So part of that, the kind of brand and the ideas behind the coffees and the names we give them are based on events which we have. So there's one, for example, the Cali Crash, which is all based around the Track World Championships in Colombia in 2014, and how that competition, although it did not go well for us whatsoever, I think, like for me personally, I was part of Team Pursuit. We finished eighth, and that was the worst Team Pursuit ride since 1998, I think, for a GB team. But it's, you know, it's moments like that which kind of form you into the people you are. And then the other single origin we have is a Brazilian coffee called Blind Faith, and that's kind of all based around the aftermath of Rio.
What is it about cycling and coffee, do you think, especially recently? Everyone is involved in coffee, or everyone is talking about coffee.
I think coffee and cycling, they're just synonymous almost. From an early age, you're almost brought up into that culture. You know, I remember going out on club runs when I was 13 or 14, and you'd be out in, you know, big groups of 30 riders, and there'd be a coffee stop somewhere, but not a coffee stop like we know it now, but more, you know, whether that was like a burger van on the side of the road, or just a tea house or a coffee house. And, you know, everyone would pile in, and if you were the last person in, you, by the time you actually got your coffee and your cake, you probably have about 3 minutes to finish it before the ride set off. But as the coffee industry's just got bigger and bigger in the UK, the level of quality of coffee's gone up, and that's what people expect now. And I think that's kind of partly what we've grown up with as well. And that's one thing which is actually very strange at the minute for me is, you know, I love a coffee stop on my rides. You know, there's not many rides unless I'm doing a really big effort specific day where I won't stop for a coffee. And even days like that, I might stop right at the end of the ride. You know, if I'm training 6 days a week, I'll probably stop at a cafe at least four times. So to not have that luxury now, you kind of appreciate it a lot more.
Listen, Owen, thank you for joining us. Good luck with Five Rings Coffee and good luck with the rest of the season, if and when it actually gets off the ground.
Yeah, fingers crossed. At the minute, it's good. It's looking positive. It's great to have a preliminary race calendar and, you know, something to aim towards. And yeah, for now, Five Rings is doing great. And if anyone wants to check it out, we're on all social platforms, just at Five Rings Coffee. And the website is exactly the same. So have a look, see what you think, and hopefully buy a bag.
You're listening to the Rouleur podcast, supported by Lacca, bicycle insurance powered by the community.
So my name is Oren Peleg, and I'm an investor in Lacca. Three things that really caught my eye. The first one is they're looking to change the insurance industry, which is a very large industry and I think needs change. The second thing is I'm deeply passionate about getting people on two wheel. We need to address our congestion and pollution crisis, and I believe that two wheels have a massive role to play in that. And the third thing is I can see a growing trend around companies building on the strong communities that they have. And I think Lacca's business model in the way they tap into the community of cyclists is something that's very much on trend at the moment.
And you can find more about Lacca's unique approach to insurance on their website, laka.co.uk. So Miles Baker-Clark from Rouleur. Owen Dahl couldn't quite pin down what it is about cycling and coffee, but there's no doubt that it's part of the whole culture, isn't it?
I mean, it's unmistakable, but even riders that don't like coffee, you know, everyone's familiar with stopping at the coffee shop before or middle or end of a ride just to have a chinwag and share a coffee. And there's always that kind of inevitable discussion about how best to have a coffee and what coffees are not allowed before which time, particularly if you're anywhere on the continent. But yeah, I mean, it's been entangled for years, and there's very few cyclists out there who don't like coffee. And I mean, I'm a bit of an obsessive myself, so I suppose I'm prime example of just that.
So if you're a bit of an obsessive, will you be sampling the Five Rings coffee to see whether it's worthy of your approval?
Well, absolutely. I mean, Owen has been kind enough to send me a sample, and while I've not brewed up yet, I'm assured it's going to be delicious. And certainly I've done that thing where you cut open the bag and have a long deep inhale of the beans already. But I mean, the reason he sent me a little packet was because, I mean, we already sell a bit of coffee in the Rouleur store, partly because of that previous conversation about cycling and coffee being so kind of entangled. We sell loads of it. Not only people love having coffee delivered because everything in the parcel smells deliciously of coffee, but because there's a certain convenience of having it delivered for starters. But also currently we stock a really cool brand out of Belgium called Il Magistrale. They do a couple of really nice cycling inspired blends. So with flavors that you might recognize in famous riders of history and that kind of thing. So it's all very playful, but you know, ultimately very delicious. My favorite is the one named after Coppy, which is just so smooth, as you would imagine. But yeah, Five Rings will fit in nicely. So I'll report back on the next podcast, perhaps, Ian, and let you know how that tastes.
Okay. And are the Rouleur coffee cups still available?
We did have a range of our own coffee cups at one point, and unfortunately, we vastly underestimated the demand. So we don't have any of those left, but we do stock a couple of nice espresso cups from Il Magistrale for one, and Cinelli do a couple of really nice ones, and we also stock Campagnolo ones, so you've got some choice in the store. And obviously you pick up a little bag of beans while you're at it, and it makes it quite a nice gift for yourself or for somebody else or that kind of thing. But all manner of coffee accoutrement available online aplenty, so no, we can't really complain, and especially when the staff are so very much coffee obsessives.
And the next issue of Ruler 20.4 must be arriving through people's letterboxes pretty soon. What's in it?
Yeah, it won't be long, actually. I think it's landing with subscribers in about a couple of weeks. And the issue focuses on the future of the sport, which is really exciting, not only in the short term, but also obviously in the long term. We've actually got an amazing, amazing cover, which everybody's going to absolutely love. I won't spoil it here, but it's illustrated completely, and it's unlike anything we've ever done before on a cover. So I'm really excited for people to see it. But we're kind of in this weird position where we don't really know what's happening with racing, but actually it's freed us up to focus on all manner of different areas of content, which is really cool. And I mean, coronavirus has put its own challenges across everything we do. You may or may not know, but I'm generally fairly involved with Desire and the Desire shoots that we do and how we feature product and that kind of thing. As Stu might have mentioned before, this shoot for 20.4 had to be done entirely in isolation, as you can imagine. Now, fortunately, Benedict is incredibly resourceful and has a very nice house and has put together another amazing shoot and featuring brands like Attacker and POC and Giro and Rafa. And it's a really cool shoot, but admittedly very different from anything we've done recently. But as part of Desire, we've also started to focus a bit more on the details. And we've got a new section called Desire Details, which is a little bit of a spotlight on certain products and a bit more information about them and our kind of natural, unusual, shall we say, photography. So for this issue, we've got this incredible new watch from Tag Heuer, for example, a 3D printed Physique saddle, which the photos are phenomenal for. You'll enjoy that one. And a variety of stuff from the shop, which our other Desire photographer, Sean Hardy, has kind of been given carte blanche to do whatever he likes with. So that's going to be a bit of a playful fun in this issue of Desire. So more pages than normal, more product than usual, but hell, it's one of the best we've done in a while. So really looking forward to seeing that.
And are people still buying cycling kit and still buying stuff from the website?
Probably more than ever, particularly in the last couple of weeks since things have started to open up globally. Kit sales have just jumped. So, I mean, we really carefully curate what kit we have on the store. And actually, we're more and more featuring stuff in Desire and on the store kind of in parallel. Stuff we feature in Desire, we also sell. So, for example, you know, you see we've got a pair of really cool snakeskin city shoes in this issue of Desire. And I mean, they're absolutely wicked. We want people to see those in the mag and think, actually, I could really fancy a pair of those. Jump on the store and there you go. So we're doing that more and more at the moment. So in terms of kit, I mean, we've got a few brands on there at the moment with more to come. So we sell some stuff from the wool experts, Ashmay. We've got pieces from Isidore, a couple of helmet brands as well, Sweet Protection and Liamar. And actually my favorite section, because I'm a bit of a sunglasses geek, we've got Alba Optics on there, which Desire aficionados will be well familiar with by now, but just an awesome range of sunglasses on there, and soon to be 100% as well. So what you've got is a really nicely curated online store of brands that you might not see every day, some that you might and some that you certainly won't, all in one place. So I imagine a bit like walking past Gucci on the high street and looking in that shop window. And our shop window is Ruler Desire, so in the mag or elsewhere. And then you can jump onto the Emporium and shop your fantasies to your heart desire. So pop back in and get your eye on something. I'm sure there's bits and pieces you'll be all over in.
Well, have you got anything that would fit on an old but still beautiful Casati?
Now, that's a good question. I'll tell you what immediately springs to mind. We've recently launched a couple of products from Ceramic Speed. One of which is this absolutely ridiculous but frankly beautiful 3D printed titanium oversized pulley wheel, which is their kind of rear derailleur system that saves you X watts at certain speed. But really most people get it for the design. But it's 3D printed, as I said, in titanium, so super light. Very expensive, but perfect to go with that campag on that Casati of yours.
Yeah, it's probably worth more than the bike, actually.
Possibly. I think it's about £1,400 retail. just for your record?
Yeah, well, it's a lot. It's worth a lot more than my bike, but obviously my bike is valuable in other ways. But okay, thanks, Miles. I'll certainly look out for that, and catch you on the next podcast.
Thanks, Ian. Take care.
And that's it from this podcast. We'll be back with a long read in a week's time. Do check out the Ruler Emporium. And while you're there, if you haven't already, take out a subscription. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.